Welcome once again to the messages of Cornerstone Anglican Church.
This heart of stone, oh no, no, this heart of stone.
Hardness of heart can dramatically impact our life. In this episode, Pastor Andrew explores how it can lead to relationship breakdown.
This heart of stone, this heart of stone.
I don't know if you noticed Jesus' response to the Pharisees and their question about divorce. And he simply says, well, what did Moses command you to do? And that was the pinnacle issue, wasn't it? What was the law? And they said that Moses permitted us or permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce. And Jesus stunned me, at least, I don't know if he stunned you, by saying, but Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. Whoa, hold on. Aren't the commandments God's law? Aren't they God's instructions for a good life? A holy life, a righteous life. And yet here God is conceding something. Certainly not his wish. Certainly not his perception of the relationship between a man and his wife, as Jesus goes on to actually then say. But from the beginning of creation, God created them male and female. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no person is to separate. So God's intention for the relationship is permanent. So why would God concede on this issue, which I would have thought is one of the most fundamental issues in the whole of the creation? That God created man and woman, and he created them for relationship. Why would God concede in his own laws this issue? And I think it's because of the hardness of heart. Or at least that's the reason given. But what is the hardness of heart? If you were paying attention to the children's talk, at least it's someone who has stopped listening, or certainly stopped listening to the thoughts of God. I don't know about you, but have you ever found your partner perfect, your spouse perfect? Does he get it right all the time? Or does she get it right all the time? What about those little things, you know, those things that are, I assume, quite irritating? What do you do with them? Well, love overcomes. There's some things you can correct and some things you can never correct. One of the things that I learned early in our marriage was that Lynette was brought up in a home with open doors and I was brought up in a home with closed doors. And it took me some time to realize I just needed to leave the doors open. And that's something that's just somehow innate to us. I believe God gave concession because hardness of heart in relationship of marriage, I think, breeds domestic violence. It allows abuse to be rampant with no recourse, especially in the Jewish community of the time. And on top of that is the derogative picture of women in the relationship. Now, culturally in Australia, we're brought up in an ochre culture, which has its perception of this issue and also the perception of domestic violence. Now, I raise this partly not only because Jesus raises this in this gospel reading, but Synod discussed domestic violence last Saturday. A family law judge got up and basically said the number of religious people who come into his court is just amazing. the underlying current was that religion breeds this thing. No, religion doesn't breed this thing. But it can allow it, and its commandments and its teaching can sometimes be misused. The parable of the sower talks about hearing and understanding. And you know, we actually have filters on when we come to the Word of God. We allow it to say what we want it to say. And that comes up in relationships incredibly, in marriage. That a man will think, I'm the head of the wife. And he'll have good scriptural backup for that. But he forgets something. In the very instruction to the ladies about that, there's an incredible instruction to the man. And that is that he's to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. You want to be the head? You have to give your life for her. Now, the moment that domestic violence occurs, the contract has been breached. And you cannot use scripture to justify that type of action. Whether it's physical abuse, verbal abuse, or other types of abuse that occur in domestic violence. Once you act in that direction, you have breached the contract. Now, the church has been charged over the years, and probably to a certain extent in some areas, right, that they've encouraged women to remain in abusive relationships when we shouldn't have done that, on the basis that she should be obedient to her husband. That is not what the Bible talks about. Once domestic violence occurs, that relationship has been broken and breached by the offender. The recipient does not have to stay in that relationship. Now, of course, there are repercussions. And there were obviously repercussions in the Jewish community, where some Jewish men would say that they were glad they hadn't been born a woman, which I think is very offensive personally. What has gone missing because of the hardness of heart is the compassion and basically the value of one another. To love and cherish is an awesome statement and commitment. Domestic violence breaches that instantly. There's a book, and part of it was called God's Police. And the book goes back into Ocker culture, our beginnings, the convict beginnings, where initially men were sent to Australia, convict men. Very few women. And then when men basically finished their sentence and they were set free, they got rowdy. So the government believed the way to solve this was to import some priests, some clergy, to see if they could control the rowdiness. And then the other one was to bring in some women and put them in the place as God's police, the moral agent in the relationship, to see if they could control the rowdiness of these men. Now, unfortunately, that put women in an incredibly difficult situation. And I think you see that element of that relationship where she's the boss, she's the moral agent, she's the one who rules, which is not the relationship as it ought to be. It brings a deep resentment in men. I don't know if you've met an Ocker guy, you're visiting or something, and he says, I'll go and get the boss, meaning the wife. Now, in one sense, he means that. In another sense, he doesn't mean that at all. He doesn't really want to do what she says, but he better. And that puts her on a pedestal that makes it quite difficult for her. The ochre culture towards women over the years is very derogatory. Reading that book, I resonated. She talked about things that I thought, well, that's right. I remember comments like that, derogative comments about women from my mates. It was part of our culture. And that culture has to change because it destroys a most precious entity, a relationship between a man and his wife and a woman and her husband. If you rule her, I don't think you're obeying the scriptures. I can't see ruling a person is loving them like Christ loved the church. And that's what this is about. It's giving love in such a way that enhances the other person, that strengthens them, that develops them, that encourages them to expand and be whom God intended them to always be. And that comes with a sense of also protecting them from forces that would destroy that. And domestic violence begins when one of the person decides they will destroy that, that they will contain that, that they will make sure that they are locked up in such a way that they can never be free to be whom God always intended them to be. So domestic violence doesn't begin with a hit. That's just an end result. It begins when we think that we can contain another person and rule their life. That is not what the Bible tells us to do in our relationships. The Bible encourages a man to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and encourages the ladies to give respect to their husbands. So when Jesus says that God allowed a certificate of divorce for the hardness of hearts, we need to understand that hardness of hearts lays at the depths of what I think creates domestic violence. And for some people, breaking that hardness of hearts is extremely difficult. So when the call comes from Jesus to listen, and what he means by listen is listen to everything he's saying, not to take the bits that you like, not to take the bits that serve your own agenda, but to take the whole of what he's saying and begin to apply it in our lives. And what occurs when we do that is we actually begin to bear fruit. When we hear him, when we attend, when we break that depth of hardness of heart. And you know, sometimes we need to actually ask God for his help to do that. Remember a family we had coming for counseling time and time again about some difficulties having their marriages. And we couldn't get through to whatever was causing this. Both were concerned about it. And then one day I just had this revelation, and they came in and I said, you know what you guys need? You need a new heart. Let's take the old heart out and put a new and fresh heart in. And you know when you do that, it breaches and breaks the hardness of hearts. Which is exactly what Jeremiah was saying when God is going to take the heart of stone out and put a heart of flesh. And we need hearts of flesh that are attentive to God, that love God, and seriously cherish that precious person that God has put in our lives, our wife or our husband. Because they're a gift from God. They are a joy from God. but they are also a gift of joy that we can destroy. So I'm going to get us to just, as a church, to pray. So why don't we just bow our heads now. Father, you created a relationship between a man and a woman. But we pray for these relationships. And we pray, Lord, that you would breach the hardness of hearts in those relationships. That you would take the heart of stones out and replace it with a heart of flesh. And that you release people to allow their spouses to be the people you always intended them to be. To encourage, to release, and to love, and to care, so that they can come all that you want them to come. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'd like to hear more great messages from Pastor Andrew, check out our Facebook page or look us up on the net at cornerstone-church.com.au.